More than a dozen families in Flint, Michigan, are suing the school system there, arguing their children were exposed to brain-damaging levels of lead during the water crisis there 6 years ago. The parents believe that exposure may have caused or exacerbated their children's special needs. These families will make their case in court this summer. This case is just one of several lawsuits against the Flint school system. The city's rate of special education students has grown steadily since the water crisis began. 28% of students there are in special education. The national average is about 13%. For more, we're joined by Flint resident and mother Jessica Gutierrez and education attorney Kristen Totten with the ACLU of Michigan. Welcome to you both.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
And Jessica, I want to start with you. You're a mother of five, born and raised in Flint. Tell us more about your children and where they attend school.
Presently, they're spread out in different schools. So I have one daughter that goes to a charter school and she's in the seventh. And then I have two that are going to a school inside the city of Flint, which is like a private school. And then I have a little one that's in early on. And then I have one that is attending a dual enrolled school that's a part of U of M.
Mm-hmm. Medical professionals have said there's no way to prove conclusively that lead has caused new disabilities in Flint. But we know that children exposed to lead are at higher risk of neurological damage and developmental delays. Jessica, no one knows their children better than a mother, and you've certainly seen changes in your children. What can you tell us that you've seen?
Well, I've seen issues where I have had a child that was potty trained, and now all of a sudden she has a problem with incontinence, and it's been going on for about three and a half years. The worst types of behavioral issues are the ones where you can see that your child realizes that what they're doing is not normal. And the worst thing about that is that if you didn't have a background about why your children are behaving the way that they are, you would think that they're just inherently being disobedient. So if I jump a little bit forward, the state of Michigan put into play basically a system or a place, a medical place where you can get your children tested for neurological testing.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go and you get your child tested, and you find out that there is something most definitely wrong with your child, it's like a re-traumatization all over again because, oh my goodness, all of these times I harshly punished my kid. So you have that to go back over.
And that's what you found in your case specifically with your family. Your children were tested and they were formally diagnosed.
Yes, with different conditions. And the thing is, you leave and you're like, so what do I do now? And that's not the only question that parents have. Some of the teachers that I've spoken with are also having that concern. I was pregnant during 2014. I had my baby in 2015. And there are programs early on for the little ones. And so what now they're starting to see is now this is the influx, the introduction of the children that were just at like the precipice of the water crisis. They were in utero. Their parents were drinking the water. They were drinking, feeding it with their kids in the bottles. And what they're seeing with the students is they don't know how to handle it.
I want to bring in Kristen Totten, and we're going to talk a little bit about the resources within Flint schools and the city at large, because it was already a city strapped for cash in a very significant way. But Kristen, in the past few years, 15 city and state officials have been indicted for their actions related to this crisis. I mean, it goes without saying that this fight is far from over. Part of the reason, though, that we're seeing a spike in the number of children in special education is because of the requirement that the school system test the children for special needs. Is that correct? Can you tell us more about that?
Sure. So we brought this lawsuit back in October of 2016 after approaching the state to say, you're doing things for the 0 to 5 population, but what are you doing for the K through 12 population? And what they were able to tell us is that they were providing nutritional supplements, some leafy green vegetables, and nurses which is a good thing, but we knew that was going to fall very short as to what the need would demand, because we had been watching Flint even before the water crisis and knowing that they were not meeting their obligations under the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, which one requires that you find the children who are struggling to learn and then you provide them with a free appropriate public education. We knew that they weren't doing this because we were also monitoring the level of suspensions and expulsions from the Flint Community School District, and we found that it was the highest in the state. Mm. So we had to file this lawsuit in October of 2016, along with the New York law firm of White & Case and also the Education Law Center of New Jersey. We filed it, and by October 2017, we were realizing, like, not enough is happening. And so we filed a preliminary injunction, and we knew that utilizing the psychoeducational evaluations that are typical in schools when you assess to see if a child has a disability were too subjective. So we filed this preliminary injunction. We had excellent neuropsychologists come out and perform neuropsychs on 8 of our named plaintiffs, and they found devastating impacts. In our case, we don't have to say that it's because of the lead. It could be because of the trauma that's related to the lead, but we know that a neuropsychological evaluation is what really gets into targeting what cognitive functions have been impacted.
That's important what you said there, that not only perhaps the direct causation of what we're seeing, the neurological changes in the children, but there are all of these other factors that are related to the lead being in the water, as you said, the emotional impacts as well.
Yes, there was some assessments done of adults in Flint and a finding of PTSD. We needed to make sure that we filed this lawsuit to tell the families of Flint, we see you, we validate what you're seeing in your children, and we're going to make sure that the school district, but more importantly, the Genesee Intermediate School District and the state of Michigan through the Michigan Department of Education sends what resources are needed for what the state inflicted upon these families.
I want to ask you more about that because, as I mentioned earlier, Flint schools were strapped for cash. The city in general has seen a major decline over the last few decades. And since this water crisis, the school district has had to lay off staff and divert funds from general education programs to this growing special needs population. Flint actually says that it's argued that they're doing the best that they can. They've said that in the past. But this begs a larger question that you sort of touched on. Is this a bigger issue that perhaps federal intervention is needed here?
It is a much bigger issue than what the Flint Community Schools and the superintendent, Tawab, at the time, he went before a congressional hearing panel and told them that we would need additional supports for special education. It hasn't come through the state, it hasn't come through the county, and it hasn't come through the feds. And what we're enforcing in this lawsuit in federal court is a federal entitlement statute that children are identified and that their disability-related needs are provided with accommodations and services so that they can access a quality education.
Mm-hmm. Jessica, all 5 of your children received the screening and evaluation for special education, as you mentioned. Are they in special programs within the schools that they're in? I know that they're at various places throughout Flint.
The only special program that any of my children are in is the 4-year-old. And I'm kind of disgusted because I'm feeling like, is there some sort of plan to create monsters that you can let or hunt? And if you know that lead affects them in this way, you're putting them out because, okay, there's nothing else you could do with them. You have a class that you need to teach. So then you have parents pulling their kids out of school and trying to do online home tutoring.
Yeah, there's been actually a spike in homeschooling in Flint. But one thing I just want to get from you, Jessica, in particular, you were born and raised in Flint. This is your home. I assume this is part of the reason why you're staying there despite all of this. What is your call to action? It's now going to the courts, but really you want to continue to keep Flint as your home and have your children thrive there.
Yes. My call to action is if you have the privilege and you have the knowledge about the workings of the school system and you run into a parent or you see a parent or a child that needs help, advocate for them. And we hope that the cure to fix this problem will come in our time. It's not just to help the future because we need help now.
That's Jessica Gutierrez, an education attorney, Kristen Totten with the ACLU of Michigan. Thank you both for taking the time to shed light on this very important issue.
Thank you for having us.